let me record this. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready, Rob.
Wait a minute, what's the first line of the song? I can't remember.
I mean, what, I sing because I'm happy? Mm-hmm.
Oh, does it start off like that? I sing. That ain't how it starts off.
Shit, I'm a heathen, so I can't tell you.
Oh my God, I can't think of it. I'll sing that part.
Yeah, just sing the hook. You know.
I sing. Okay, hold on. I sing. Hold on, we'll get this. I sing. Because I'm happy, I sing. Because I'm free, God's eyes are on the spot. Okay, I'm done now.
Hey, we finna put that Young Cash app. You know, in the comment box, man.
That was bad, though. That was really bad.
We had a song. She was in here. You know, she just been released from quarantine.
Yes. Quarantine release party at Hippie Radio.
Yeah, so we finna turn up tonight. You know, we're going to have our own Jeezy versus our Guwap versus in the studio.
Well, yeah, you made me sing, and that's going to be on the freaking radio. So, ooh, wow, I just put myself on the radio. What about that?
You never know. We in Music City. Somebody may want you, you know what I'm saying?
No, that was horrible.
To dust off the pipes.
You know what's so crazy is when I was little, I used to pray, and because I used to sing in the choir. It was my dream to be a singer. I was in a group called Ashe. Hey, right. Jackie. Jackie was our manager. And I wanted to be on the radio so bad.
Right.
And I was just on the radio singing a song. So I manifested that for myself.
Hey, that's dope. See?
Yeah, that's
never awesome. Know. It took 40 years, but hey.
Hey, it took Noah 40 years to build the ark. Never give up hope. Never give up. Who sang that song? Never give up. Never give up. Who sang? It's that, my God. My lover. What's that song?
Is that gospel
that's
R&B?
Never mind. That's never going to get
Never going to get it. Talking about in vogue.
Oh, my God. That's never going to get it. But, yeah, we could change that to Never Give Up. How about that?
Hey, you know, we sing songs. I mumble a lot of Luther Vandross songs. I be thinking he be saying, so, shit. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
There was a debate. Somebody shared a post on social media. This guy, he was dressed like really fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And he was he had captioned the lyrics to Outkast's song, "Ain't nobody fresh like me. I'm dressed so fresh, yeah. So clean." And everybody was like, "Wait a minute, it's dressed so fresh, so clean. I thought it was just so clean or something." Like, it's crazy how we all hear
what
the
we
same thing.
Hear, yeah.
Well, no, we were like literally hearing the same thing, but the words were wrong. Everybody heard the wrong thing.
Oh, okay. So everybody thought they were saying one thing, but the lyrics said.
Yeah, what do you think the lyrics are?
I don't remember, but I know we played that at my wedding and had a damn good time. Shout out to my former wife, Tish. Tell them about our wedding. It was litty. Open bar. People was drunk. My teammates came through. Her folks came through. The damn picture man stole the pictures, but hey, that's another story.
Wow.
But we was.
I'm sorry to hear that.
We had a very lit wedding.
Did y'all do line dances and stuff?
Line dances is a Nashville thing. We are steppers. We step in Chicago.
How is that different? Is it different?
Because Chicagoans view line dancing like round and round and do-si-do. Grab your friends who you know. Swing to the left and go to the right. So now,
let me ask you a question. Where do you think Nashville or country music got their line dancing? Did it come from the stepping, or did the stepping come from the line dancing?
Well, they still our culture anyway, so they had to add their own little twist to it. So I'm sure it was some thievery in it, and they said, "We're going to make it our own." You can't put past nothing these culture vultures we have here.
Man, I shared some videos on my page the other day. It was two white women. One of them is the hip hop, the bebop champion of the world.
Oh, my God.
But, hey, she was cool with it, but it was shocked me. It kind of shocked me to see that. Like,
Who did the voting?
I don't know. It was on Unidad or Unit something. It was like a page that has a, it's a TV station.
Oh, so. We just got to figure out who does these voting when they win anything. Especially like beatboxing.
No, she was cold. I'm go look at it on my page. She was cold with it. I don't know who all entered the contest.
I'm sure it was somebody better.
I don't know. I didn't see anybody else.
Okay.
So, but okay. And then there was a another white girl who, I don't know what type of dancing that is, but you know, it's obviously it's hip hop dancing, but you know how they can move, like they look like
man,
you know,
listen,
like, she was cold.
Listen,
she
here.
Was cold, and she was the number one champion of the world too. And I was like, dang. We used to be at the, like, it used to be.
It depends who vote. You know, sometimes, you know, black folk over embellish when a white person do
something.
No, they
something. Were good. They deserved their titles. Don't get me wrong. They were good.
About 10, 15 years ago, they said who had the best butt in the world. Everybody know it was Serena Williams. But they had this little skinny little white girl. Nice frame. Nice. Decent frame. Don't come nowhere near Serena. And she had the best. And once I saw that, anytime.
Hold on. We talking about talent?
I'm just talking about, no, what I'm simply saying is that I take anything they win with a grain of salt. I need to know who does the voting. Who does the voting? I was at this club. I'm going to put them on blast. But, you know, it's one of the 3 black spots you could go to in Nashville to listen to some hip hop. And they had a white DJ in there. And I was just amazed at the amount of records that he was playing, you know, and the crowd was rocking. I was like, how? Like, how is he paying all this Gucci and Jeezy and everything else and the little babies in the world? How is he rocking a house full of black folk? Like,
because so, it's the music. And
no,
if,
I just
if
feel like
talented.
I just feel like sometimes we give them such the benefit of the doubt. We always make them so included in our culture.
Did you dance that night?
I know. I walked out.
You didn't give him a chance?
No, for what? For what?
Okay. Well, that's a conversation that we would not go, because we know we go down.
Yeah, rabbit hole.
Yes.
No, Nope. Support your own.
Yes, that. And
your
that
own
doesn't,
black DJ
that doesn't mean to not support anybody else, especially if we're talking about being inclusive. But and our thoughts are different, so we're not going to go down that road. So we're going to talk about how the last 2 months have been for both of us since we're just
it's
coming
been
back
two
together.
Months.
Yeah, and
wow.
I missed you, Corey.
Hey, I really miss. No, what miss song I could sing? Never mind. I miss you too, Erica.
I thought you was getting ready to sing again the way you started off.
Nah, I missed you too.
What did you miss?
Knowing that I could get under your skin. That's the number one thing that I miss. To get under your skin. No, but sometimes, you know, the way you think, you know, your mind is beautiful to me. So our conversations, man, how it would be flowing and how you are. One thing I tell people about you is that I may get under your skin, but one thing you are a researcher and you have no problem admitting when you're wrong.
Yeah.
But you're going to stand 10 toes down before you find out. So, you know, that's what I miss the most, man. And then the people that support the movement, the Tales from the Grind movement, you know, folks have been asking me what's been going on. Y'all still got the podcast, this, that, and the third. But, you know, I didn't want to let everybody know that you was quarantining.
Oh, I didn't care. That is a sensitive subject across social media.
Yeah.
And so I don't touch it. But, I mean, I will let everyone know that we were okay. It was a very mild case, you know, that my daughters and my niece had.
Mm-hmm.
They were sick for about 2 days and everything was fine. But we quarantined because one of them was asymptomatic. I had to quarantine 14 days longer than the one that was asymptomatic. So given that I'm the caregiver, I had to quarantine while my daughters who actually had symptoms while they were sick. So I was quarantining during that time. And then the one who had no symptoms whatsoever, I had to quarantine 14 days after her quarantine ended. So my quarantine ended up being a month.
A month, yeah. That's something I told you about my son, man, when he picked him up from the airport. And he was like, you know, we spoke to his mother. And he had to bust that U-turn. Nah, bro, you're not stepping a foot in this house, you know. And he was in Chicago for 2 months until he showed me the positive test, man. So we know COVID's real.
I would rather have it than my kids. So, like, when I did find out they were positive, I took care of them because I'm not gonna put them in a room and make them fend for themselves.
You're not gonna slide the soup under the
door. No, because I'm mama. When they had the flu, when they had virus, when they had the stomach virus, I was right there. And for me, I can only speak for myself.
Right.
Whenever my kids got sick, I would always be like, man, I can handle it better than them when they had like colds or the flu or a stomach virus. Mm-hmm. But when they had COVID, if they have a disease that could possibly be deadly, no, I'm not gonna get away from them. I'm gonna be right there with them, praying for them, hugging them, loving on them, feeding them I fed them soup. I was right there with them, and that's just
like
me.
He was your mama bear, man. He was protecting the cubbies. Yeah. That's understandable. But I'm speaking for someone who, I think before it was diagnosed, that I actually had it in December.
I think a lot of people had it last year.
Because I'm telling you, man, I thought I was about to die. I lost a lot of weight. I couldn't eat. My head was hurting. I felt like every time I was about to close my eyes that I wasn't gonna wake back up. Chest hurting, like, you know, when I went to the hospital, they was telling me it was like
a viral infection,
another strain of a flu. Mm-hmm. You know, it's flu season and these strains get stronger and stronger,
yeah,
and whatnot. So a few days, you know, there, because my blood pressure was like at 208, it was dumb high.
Wow.
You know, and then, you know, you couldn't breathe, you didn't want to eat anything. Like, it was the worst cold I've ever had in my life. And so when I look at the symptoms of people who had COVID and I hear the stories, things of that nature, I'm like, yo.
That was what you had last year.
I had COVID, you know, and a lot of people
are saying that.
Who are sharing my experience said the same thing. Like, yeah, and it was around, ironically, November, December. Yeah. And I got sick late December before, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In February, that's when it really, you know, kicked off.
Yeah. So I know someone, a teenager, who had a cold, like she couldn't get rid of the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And her lips like had turned blue, and her mom thought that it was because of the air conditioning in the house. She thought that they, you know, they had the air on
because
too
you could
high.
Get sick. Yeah. With the air,
no,
in
she
the
thought
house.
That it was so cold that that was what was turning
her
lips
blue. Okay.
Because the cold would not go away.
She was a Karen.
No. No, okay. No, she was a black, she was light skinned. She was a black girl.
Light skinned friends that look like Michael Jackson.
What?
Not Kanye, we just popped in the head. What up, homie?
But while researching COVID, I learned that if it goes undetected for a long time, like if it stays for like a long, long time, a symptom of it could be that it turns your lips blue. And I was like, oh,
wow.
My gosh, that's what was wrong with her. Because she had this cold for like a month and a half.
Oh, she had it.
Yeah. And it had started turning her lips blue. So her mom took her to the doctor. And the doctor basically said that it was a viral strain. And she said it's some type of viral infection. And they didn't know what
exactly.
It was.
Exactly. That's what they were saying. Yeah, it was
so,
a viral.
Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people may have had it last year. So.
Wow. That's crazy. That is crazy. So what else been going on outside of that? How's business, you know?
So we have three new interns.
Okay.
And I love, they are amazing. It's a lot of work with training people at the same time while you're still handling other things that you're supposed to handle for the company. And so I'm learning to, where Noda has always been me, my CTO, and our developers in India. And so now there's three new people, mm-hmm, all at one time. And it's like, okay, how do you juggle all this? So now, right now, I kind of feel like Auntie Em. Everything is like going around in my head. Hey, M. Celeste, Miss Miriam B.
What up? What up, Celeste?
Man, did you see him? Her brand is growing. I freaking love everything that you are doing across social media. Yeah. Her brand is growing. I could see that thing being national.
It.
Yes.
Yeah, when she stepped up in here, man, and you know, a couple of my people who reached out to her, man, they constantly brag on her. So we knew it was going to happen. You know.
Yes. And of course, you know, your product is good if my kids have stole it and I didn't get to use much of it because they did. Anytime I would put the red box back in my room, they would come in there and act like, where the red box at? Like it was theirs. So you know that you have a great product. What's up, Nino? But yeah, that's how I feel right now with Know That. But it's great, right? Growth is great. We knew the process of you know, building a billion-dollar tech company wasn't going to be easy. And
big B's, billion dollars.
Yeah, you notice how I speak that like it's
speaking in existence. Hey, you know, but, radio frequency, put it out there. Yeah, we with that.
But it's. It's rewarding and at the same time it's a lot. It's imposter syndrome is on high. I can
that's
honestly
the
say
new
that.
The new phrase, right? Imposter syndrome.
It's on high.
Yeah, it's very high. But that's good. I mean, hey, growth could happen, you know, especially with social media. I mean, you could go viral, you could pop off snap of the finger. You know. And that's exciting, man, going into 2021. You know, especially, like I said, our word of the year was pivot. You know, and as you pivot, you scaling.
Yeah.
You know, that's dope, you know.
That's because we noticed, like, I'm not going to talk about what we found in the market during COVID. But, like, as far as, like, in the marketing landscape, where it came from for small businesses, we noticed something. We sat back and we watched. And we noticed something.
I'm gonna get the off record answer to that, you know. So we ain't gonna let y'all know every damn
thing.
But
no, honestly, no. We don't really talk about it because it's our
secret sauce.
Yeah, it's the when the investors say, "Why you?" It's because. Yeah. So, but we noticed something during COVID and pivoted to that, and so ever since we pivoted towards that. Man, things have been as far as, you know, investors coming on board, mentors and advisors coming on board. Like people say, oh, wow. Like, OK, so.
OK.
Yeah. They're like, this is what. Yeah.
Okay, that's what's up.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So it's rewarding. But it's a lot. So what's been going on with you?
Life. Growth, you know, acceptance. Maybe I could say that, you know, really accepting the fact that I was a hustler, not a businessman, you know, had to really accept that. And I was hustling. I was same stuff I was doing in Chicago, early in Nashville.
That's some high self-awareness, self-realization,
you know,
right there.
I had to accept it. I didn't want to accept it because I always just wanted to do things my way, you know, which is hustle and treat everyone like a number, like a product, you know, whether I followed up or didn't follow up, didn't care. I had to accept the fact that I didn't care, not saying internally that I didn't care, like mentally, but my actions didn't show that I care. So being a part of a couple of business development programs, I realized where I missed opportunities. But the growth part is I didn't dwell in those missed opportunities. I found other opportunities where my skill set could take me. So, you know, we got the trucking company. Popping, you know, constantly studying. That's a lot of moving parts in this trucking industry. So meeting some great people, some great mentors.
That's what's up.
Got the maintenance company going on to draft up some contracts and get my get a couple of my mentees who got the HB certifications squared away. I did a post just to see to test the temperature. So now I'm finna put them to work. helping my son launch his, you know, his T-shirt brand. My youngest son, you know, he went through some things. We got my boy set up for therapy, but he's getting ready for TSU football. So just a lot of exciting stuff from a lot of, you know, personal and professional things. While many people were going out of businesses, you know, we're starting businesses,
And I think we said that at the beginning of the year, that there would be opportunities, right?
Plenty of opportunities. You got to be, you know, you got to accept much faster. Don't dwell in it. Don't sit back and ask yourself, how did you get here?
Mm-hmm.
This is where you at. If you had a current situation, like I'm like a Dame Dash guy, right? Like I take all my coin now that I make and put it to the business, put it towards debt that need to be paid off, and put it to the business. So on paper, I'm rich, but I'm cash broke,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I'm constantly pouring it to the business, right?
Yeah.
So that was something I wasn't willing to do 3, 4, 5 years ago when people were telling me, you need to invest in this and invest in that. Nope, you know, because I was still programmed on the lifestyle of stunting, living this life, this fictitious lifestyle. I say it was fictitious. It's just that it wasn't a lifestyle that was strong enough for growth. I couldn't get to 7 figures or 8 figures, you know, where I'm currently heading to with that mindset.
Yeah. Most of the time, the road to that, the journey to that is a lot of, I don't want to say the word sacrifice, and that acceptance, you kind of, it's a give and take, right? So, like, mm-hmm. you're spending the majority of your time in the beginning giving, and you're giving, and you're giving to your business, you're giving to clients, you're giving to other entrepreneurs. Like, you're just giving, giving, giving. And then that something happens that turns the tide, and everything that you've done on that side ends up coming in.
Yeah, when the seeds start to bloom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what the Chinese call the yin and the yang.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has an opposite, right? And then, so one thing I think a lot of people don't think about is that in order for you to get to that place where you're growing financially at large levels, where you want to be, let's say you want to be at sitting $200 million in the bank, in order to get that, this side has to kind of balance out. So it's like the pendulum, right? When the pendulum swings, it's going to swing the same amount of force the opposite way.
Absolutely, yeah. It's an unbalanced force. That's a mm-hmm. law of thermodynamics.
Yeah.
Newton laws number 2. When you hit stuff with the unbalanced force, it's going to shake, it's going to shift, it's going to move. And, you know, I like how you threw that $200 million mark out there, because it's really achievable.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I'm not trying, you know, it's like what we got going on, the people who I'm dealing with, the meetings I'm having, like, you know, I put on my post, road to eight figures. And, you know, one of my mentors, like, I hope you're talking about a month, because what y'all got going on, the contracts you're receiving, whatever the case may be, bro, you gonna hit 9 figures, and if you do it the right way, you know, it could be done within a decade or so. So it's like, oh, this is for real. Like,
yeah.
this ain't for play. This ain't just talking.
Yeah.
Like, this is for real. So that's exciting. But, you know, just hopefully that's maintaining my health. And I'm looking to take advantage of the opportunities that's going to come up in 2021, 2022. Like, many people don't understand that people thought they was affected, thought businesses was affected during COVID in 2020. Oh, folks, this was only just a pinch.
What do you mean?
In 2021, 2022, you know, first of all, the real estate floodgates was about to open up.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, with home foreclosures or whatnot, people are selling their businesses for pennies on the dollar.
You know what I heard why people are selling right now? A lot of people are trying to, they were going to sell these businesses anyway. They would only survive if the tax cuts that they were getting under the Trump administration had continued. And if Biden's plan to increase tax for businesses, including small businesses who are making $400,000 and up, then a lot of those businesses said, okay, let me go ahead and sell so that I don't get taxed heavily on the acquisition.
Right.
Yeah, and so like that's why a lot of businesses are selling right now. I was reading this article where this M&A, actually, and I attended the Dealmakers Conference.
Okay.
Where a lot of investors come and they're like, okay, I want to, this is the marketplace to find businesses to merge with or to buy, to find businesses for acquisition.
Right.
And so a lot of them are putting their businesses out on the market right now because they're like, if the taxes are getting ready to go up, let me go on ahead and sell now while we're still under this.
I mean, that's a smart thing to do. I mean, yeah. If you feel that way, you know, if you don't want to gamble and pay whatever Biden tax plan is proposing. And actually, you know, someone, this group that I'm in, we actually broke down the tax plan. I got to go a little bit in depth to it. And it's not as bad as people, from what I'm seeing and from what I'm, as people making it out to be, you know, but it's going to be interesting. So, yeah, get the bang for your buck right now.
I think
right
a lot
now.
Of their accountants had them scared during the election. They had them scared because I think he was basically saying 80%. We're going to tax you at 80%, which nobody ever, none of them ever pays 80%.
It's not the 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like this country can't go there because this country has went
but
there, if you
never,
know the history.
Nobody ever paid it. Like, if you look at the, research that. Nobody ever paid it, even though it was set at 90% at one time.
Yeah, one time for sure.
Yeah, nobody ever paid 90%.
But that just lets you know right there, most people don't have a pulse on their business or on tax codes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to find a way to wiggle yourself out of it, you know, because
that's
I didn't
what
get
they
into,
do. They know how to do it, regardless.
And no one ain't trying to make less than $400,000 as an entrepreneur.
Definitely not.
You know, you didn't get
but
into
there
this.
Are some entrepreneurs out there who do.
Well, let them. Right? Let them. That's what they won't find.
Some people say, I don't want to grow. Like, I don't want to grow beyond this. But I mean, some people know what they can handle, and they don't go beyond that, and that's okay for them.
And that's right. I'm not judging them. Yes, I didn't get in to make $400,000 or less. So, but that's just me. So I'm not going to project my values on them.
Right.
You know, if they $200,000 a year and they're able to spend time with their family, or because it's their life.
It's their
live
life.
Live your life how you want to live your life.
I think 2021, I think that's going to be the mantra for 2021. I think more people are going to start saying it's my life and I live it now. Ooh, I need to.
She almost had an Oprah Super Soul moment right there. Get Ayanna on the phone.
Yeah, no,
it's
no,
my
you know,
life.
You know that
and I'm going to live it now.
Yeah, you know that commercial. It's my money and I need it now.
Oh, Wentworth.
Yeah,
JG Wentworth.
But I think 2021, that's going to be the mantra for a lot of people, and I can already start to see people kind of detaching from other people's judgments and from other people's thoughts, right? I don't care what you think. What's good for your life is good for your life, and what's good for mine is good for mine. And I know that's going to be my mantra. I shared on my page the other day, I'm doing what's best for me. And if it upsets people, then it's doing its job.
Right, it should be. They said most leaders should be willing to face criticism. And I think I put that on my post like 3 weeks ago. I ain't going to say the F-bomb, but it's rule number one. Rule number one was F what they think. That's what they think, period. Yeah. If they ain't trying to help you scale or enjoy the life, because we're going to get to the point, I'm 43 years old, and I'm already saying, damn, it was some things that I was just, I was just rigid. Mm-hmm. Like, it's some things that I have yet to experience. I'm 43. You know what? There's some things I want to do, and I'm saying this at 43, meaning that we're going to all get to an age and realize that life is extremely short, and we don't have that much time on earth to do what we want to set out to do. So write down your bucket list and try to put as many green checks behind the things that you want to do.